Congratulations.
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
Last week we did not... Yay! Maysoon, did you know I didn't put an episode out last week?
No. Fuck. Really? I'm such an... Well, that makes sense because I usually get a notice and I didn't see one. But then you there were a couple like messages, like birthday messages from listeners that were very, very cute. So yeah. I was like, oh, how do they know? Maybe Kate said something in the last episode.
I tweeted it.
Oh, yeah. That was cute.
Happy belated birthday to Maysoon, our Aries queen. I tried to get research assistant Katie Kondo to record with me and she went on labor strike.
Oh, good for her. She's like, if you're not going to pay me, I'm not going to work. Yep. That's right, Katie. You say it. You tell us.
What are we going to say here, Maysoon?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like you could give us some updates on SFAI if you wanted.
Holy mother. I would like to give people who want to stay up to date about everything with SFAI.
Yes.
I would like to recommend... If you're on Instagram, I would follow Student Alliance, the Student Alliance of SFAI, and that handle for their Instagram account is SFAI Student period Alliance. I think today I just got an email from the grad students. I've been mostly hearing from undergrads, but today I got an email from the grad students. It was sent out to everybody, every single person on their regular SFAI email. I got it on my SFAI email and my private personal email.
Yeah.
They sent it out to everyone and they basically are demanding a refund because they were obviously required to vacate Fort Mason. And they're like, we don't blame, obviously, it's not SFAI's fault. So they said, due to the necessary restrictions created by the COVID-19 pandemic, the graduate student body, undergraduate honor studio students, and faculty who occupy the studio spaces at Fort Mason have been denied physical studio time. Additionally, we have been further barred from accessing studio resources, the physical spaces in which we are able to work, finished works, and works in progress. So they don't have access to any of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This current situation results in an inability to document our work, which limits artists from creating further applications for applying to other graduate programs, exhibitions, residencies, and career opportunities. Additionally, this obstructs artists from potentially selling work, therefore creating further financial strain and detriment to our careers. Furthermore, during the alumni meeting on April 20th, Mark Kushner, okay, now, I forget where we were at the last time we talked about this fucking telenovela, but Gordon Knox was the president.
He's on a leave of absence. He's gone.
Mark Kushner is this guy who came in.
Is he related to Jared Kushner?
I wouldn't be surprised.
God damn it.
Basically, the guy has made his career doing shit with charter schools.
Okay.
K through 12 charter schools.
Mm-hmm.
So Mark Kushner confirmed that SFAI has decided to lease Fort Mason campus out to the city, which, again, I don't really get that because we're like SFAI is leasing it from the federal government, right?
Oh, I guess so. Yeah, I guess it would be the federal government.
Yeah, it's federal land.
Yeah.
All of the whole thing Fort Mason. It causes great concern that these intentions were expressed in an alumni meeting rather than through direct and transparent communication with the graduate cohort. Those that will be directly affected by this decision. No one occupying studio spaces at Fort Mason campus should have their private possessions compromised nor be asked to remove belongings until partial refunds have been processed or the compensation of 7 weeks of studio access. We will not be made
to remove our...
I think that's how many weeks they lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
probably even
they
more, honestly.
They paid for those 7 weeks and they're like, we want them now or later. Either now financially or later in actual studio access.
Right.
So we will not be made to remove our belongings from Fort Mason under the guise of COVID-19. You must be honest and transparent. Students will only be required to vacate Fort Mason when the proper authorities have determined it safe and we have been adequately compensated. Not only does this decision reflect the disregard of the students' private property within the studios, it disregards the agreement made between the graduates and the institution. Our consent to the tuition agreement was made with the understanding that we have access to our individual studios 24 hours a day, right, 70 days a week, for the duration of our time as students. This time and space is irreplaceable and must be compensated. We demand every paying student be compensated for the time and access that has been lost. On behalf of the graduate student cohort, we have formed a committee composed of faculty and students to create a dialogue with the graduate operations team to ensure transparency around the status of the graduate studios. We advocate for those who possess studio space at Fort Mason who are facing the consequences of lost studio space and time. We demand that the administration work with us to create a solution for compensation of the tangible and intangible resources lost by the artists. We demand the board and administration uphold the institute's integrity towards this graduate body. We demand for, one, this committee to be included in conversations involving the future of the Fort Mason Graduate Center campus. We demand full transparency and inclusion in conversations and thus to be continuously notified on how these artists and their possessions will be affected. This committee is to be included in all conversations regarding when and under what terms students could potentially be asked to vacate their studios. Two, our tuition is partially allocated to ensure our possession of individual studios for the duration of the school year. With shelter in place beginning March 16th, extending till May 3rd, we have effectively lost 7 weeks of studio time that we paid for. We are demanding that this time be compensated under terms agreed upon with this committee once shelter in place has been lifted. Mm-hmm. We recognize that the shelter in place order is not the fault of SFAI. However, we demand the administration create a plan of compensation to honor our guaranteed studio space and time and the further detriment this causes to our careers. We await your response for negotiations.
Well, that's really well written.
Is that hardcore or what?
Yeah, no, it's yeah. Not even, I don't actually even think it's hardcore. I think they're requesting or demanding very reasonable, sensible things.
Well, but that's the thing. Well, I mean, I don't mean hardcore like extreme or like uncalled for or something. Yeah. I just mean like they really laid it out very
concisely. I think
it's
really well written, very clear. Yeah. Makes a lot of sense. Isn't like outrageous. You know what I mean? Like it's totally, yeah, these guys have, everyone is being screwed out of these 7 weeks, either financially and also, you know, both financial and their time and careers, I guess, right? From their career time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, that's great.
I don't know. Yeah. Good on them. Stay organized, have solidarity. Good that the faculty who also have studios there are involved.
So the faculty get studio time as part of like their packet, their work package, or how does that work? I don't know.
Before. I just know there's a couple faculty members that also have studio space there.
I see.
I don't have much hope here, Maysoon.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to ask because it sounds like there was, I know earlier this week, I think there was an opportunity to jump on another call with faculty and board
members.
They've
been having town halls left and right.
I couldn't do it because it was like at 5 o'clock and just wasn't going to work out for me, I think. But so it seems like, I mean, I'm trying to follow as close as I can. I feel super invested in knowing what's going on and trying to support the students and the faculty. And I mean, honestly, I would really like for the school to find a way to stay open, but I do think that's going to, in order for that to happen, that's going to take a lot of like heavy lifting and also really like major shift on sort of the governance, you know, like the governance of the school itself. So, and I just don't know how that happens, you know, Kate, I wonder is how
offended.
How, come on now, how does, I mean, go is ahead. There is there actually, I haven't read the sort of the bylaws for the board of SFAI, but there must be a written clause in there on how, like, if the board goes off key or like goes haywire and is no longer functioning, there must be like a, what's the plan B in place, like how do you get rid of them? Or how do you renegotiate what a board means? You know, like, is there a legal, because boards are legally binding for these institutions, like, but how do you, I mean, I just, I guess I just don't know about, like, the real kind of, like, how do you take over in a real way? Okay, so now there's four board members and this new guy, Kushner. Have you ever, at any point during this problem with SFAI, were there moments when you were like, we can do this, people, we got to do these things, and we can do it, you know?
Right when the closure stuff was announced and, like, people were really galvanized, you know, we've been working closely with the... I'm on the union leadership. I'm in the bargaining team for the union. So we've been having tons of meetings, and we had, like, visioning meetings where we were like, what does it look like if we win? Like, what is the future, the ideal future that we would love?
Yeah, great.
And, like, times when we were doing that stuff, it felt like, oh, my God, maybe... You know, this seems like a huge catastrophe, but if there's a way through this where we fix all the shit that was wrong, you know, like adjuncts labor being exploited and the tuition being ridiculously high and things like that.
Right.
Like, maybe there's an awesome light at the end of the tunnel, but at this point, like, it wouldn't, you know, I can't get too into stuff.
Okay.
But at this point, it seems to me that the financial situation that the school is in is kind of insurmountable.
I see. Are you guys going to be able to...
not only that...
Yep.
Not only that, but, like, you know, they're sending out these emails that are... like, they sent an email out to the alumni yesterday that looked insane.
Oh, no.
It's like... Hey, we need to, like, here's the other thing. They may not have payroll for next month. Okay, so, you know, they're basically like, hey, can you help us raise money? And, like, also, if you want to do any kind of fundraising on a bigger scale or marketing, please click this Google survey. And the Google survey just is unhinged. It's just like... What's your name, email address? How much can you do? Basically, can you be, like, working 24 hours? I, you know, someone who's an alumni sent me this saying, like, this is the step before the step where they send a lift to your house and give you enough drugs to stay awake until you raise them $2.5 million. And you know that the adjuncts put out a petition. We got 1,600 signatures. Including, like, you know, some pretty notable art people.
Yeah. No, I remember that.
And basically asking, just like the graduate students, for very reasonable, common sense demands.
Right.
For transparency from the board and for the board to give more power to the actual community members that do the daily work to run the school and the students who are at the school, you know, paying for the school to run.
Right.
And they basically, not only did they ignore our demands, they in some cases did the opposite. Like, they made it harder for us to get information from the board meetings.
Yeah, see, that's, I don't, that pisses me off. Because, like, what are they trying to fucking hide from you guys? Like, you guys are all fully invested, you know, in the school and wanna also save it. So it's like, it just makes me sketched out. Like, what are they fucking hiding? That they don't know what they're doing? Well, no kidding, we already know that.
Well... Yeah. So more to come on that. I would just say go, the students put together a website, savefineart.com. They want to save the school in terms of saving the community. That's what the school is to them. The school is the staff, the students, and the faculty.
Right.
So they don't want to just give the money to the board and not know what the fuck the board is doing with it, except for, like, you know, paying off the payroll and then maybe keeping on, like, high-level administrators through this, like, reimagining period.
Right.
I mean, so if you want to go to their...
Go ahead.
Yeah. So you can go to savefineart.com. They also there have their mutual aid form. If you want to support, some of the students are not doing well. Like, some students are in danger of losing their visas. I'll put a link to some of the statements that they've put out.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, some of the students, you know, were working at the school and now don't have that income.
Don't
like
have jobs,
a lot of my students.
Income. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, some of my students have had to move. Some of my students have lost their job. So there's a mutual aid form if you want to help out any of the students. They have a link to our podcast on there.
Oh, that's cute. Oh, I love them. Sweet.
So I just want to just say, like, if there's any students listening, like, the faculty are incredibly proud of you.
Oh.
For the organizing that you're doing and just the...
Yeah.
They're very honorable people.
That's awesome.
And they're fighting really hard and they're really well organized.
Yeah.
So there's more news to come on that.
I'm sure. I was going to say, it's been hard to kind of, like, be following a little bit from the sidelines and sort of wondering, you know, there's just that... When you're someone like me who has some money to give but not a lot, you kind of don't want to just throw it at some place like SFAI where you have no idea what's going on or if they're going to be able to pull through. Or...
That's their whole fucking problem.
So it's just sort of like I've been hesitant to do that, but I mean, I'm definitely less hesitant to just donate to students who need help. You know, like that seems like, okay, well, that makes sense to me. I can do that without feeling like I'm somehow being taken advantage of when, like, our whole community is being fucked, you know?
Right.
There's a couple things coming up that I'm pretty excited about, I might say. Oh, yes. Like this drink that Jimbo just brought me. Killer.
Oh, thank God.
Thank God is right. my every evening beverage. So Common Field is happening this weekend. Did you know?
Oh, so yes.
And I'm super excited because it's free. It's literally free for everyone. It's all online. And it actually spans, usually it's just like a weekend conference where you go somewhere and you go to a bunch of like panels and meetings and workshops and stuff. But it actually, I was looking at their schedule. It starts April 23rd. It's like Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then it's like the following Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So it's like it spans 2 weeks, which is, well, I guess maybe that's normal. Anyhow, it spans 2 weeks, which is great because it just gives everyone more time to like jump in and like be in, you know, participate. And it's an international, or it's a kind of a national convening of artists and arts organizations. And I think it's a nice way to get out of, like, for me at least, who someone who's been working in the Bay Area for so long, it's a nice way for me to get my brain out of the Bay Area and to think of new things or be inspired by new ideas that maybe I'm unaware of that are happening in like Tucson, Arizona, or somewhere in Ohio, or maybe it's Pittsburgh or New York. You know, I just think it's a really nice way to kind of connect with your colleagues across the country, your like new colleagues, maybe, you know, both for artists as well, so not just arts professionals.
Are there going to be little mixer Zooms?
I think so. There's like an after party on one day it's all online, so it's like I don't know if I'll do that per se. I mean, I might like draw, like eavesdrop just to be like, what is this like, you know? Plus, I'm kind of supposed to be doing, Kim is doing, has a panel on May 1st, Kim Nguyen from Wattis.
Oh, cool.
It's called On Refusing Translation, Speaking and Listening to Us. And a friend of the show, Astria Superuk, also has a panel on Saturday, April 25th. That's this Saturday from 3 to 4:30 called Matching Minorities, Doubtful Doubles, a conversation on institutionalized racism, tokenism, microaggressions, and inclusion versus optics in the art world. And that's with Jen De Los Reyes and Lisa Lee as well. But yeah, there's a lot of good stuff. I'm excited about it.
I want to go to that.
Yeah, you should go to that. It's commonfield.org. Very easy. We can list it in the underworld. Another thing that's coming up that everyone and their mom has been kind of really hardcore posting about, I'm so impressed by that, is the Southern Exposures auction, which is also fully online. Like, somehow it's fully online. But they've had the artwork, artwork up for people to look at, or I think you could pre-bid on things. For a little while now. So if you're in the market for artwork,
hey, got a painting up there.
Kate's got a painting up there. I think it's a bunny with a carrot, right? Is it that one?
Yes.
How is it going to work? Are they going to have like a live and silent auction? It's going to be crazy. I'm going to have to go to it just to be like, wow, you guys are doing it. But you know, Southern Exposure, I think, is back to its like usual shenanigans where it's like its regular crew is back in the mix and loving them. So I think it'll be probably really fun. It'll be a fun Zoom party. Is it on Zoom even?
Oh, yeah. Wofford will be bringing all the glory.
Wofford and Herb are going to be dressed up in something crazy. They're going to be the masters of ceremony, and it's going to be amazing. I have another question that I thought you could help me with because you, well, one, you've already helped me with this, but I thought maybe for our listeners, we could talk about it.
Let me help you
on the website, on the podcast. What, you want to help me thrice?
I want to help you thrice.
Okay. Help me thrice. I appreciate it. So a little while ago, we were talking about the differences between like online payment systems like PayPal or Venmo.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Or the Bloopy Blop or whatever.
Well, but maybe you know better now than I do.
I don't know anything because I have done nothing. I still need to pay people. Oh. It's terrible. But basically, like, you know, we're all sitting at home. Some of us are working from home. Some of us are not working from home, but maybe are trying to find ways to stay engaged in any way, either through exercise like yoga or dance classes or meditation classes, or through like online classes, on sort of online learning, whatever. There's all sorts of offerings out there right now. And all the people who are posting or offering classes are, for the most part, from what I can see, are offering them for free, but are saying if you have the means to like donate a little bit of money, here's how you do that. And so Kate and I were talking about, you know, what the differences are between all the different ways you can pay people. And I thought maybe we could help clarify for our listeners today on the podcast. So exciting. Okay,
and you were asking specifically about Venmo.
Venmo versus PayPal. And you abruptly, or you very quickly told me that they are now owned by the same people. So they're basically the same evil.
If someone's going to pay me, I want Venmo.
Why is that now?
Because it is. It's just easier for me to quickly access it on an app on my phone.
Okay, versus like then, having to log in from your computer or something. Tedious.
I mean, PayPal has an app too, but it's just more bullshit to deal with.
But you do currently get paid online, so you're actually a really good sort of resource or sounding board for something like
this. Well, but you, my, like, when I get paid through my website, it goes through Square.
Okay. So is that an account you had to set up with Square?
Yeah.
Okay. So you have a Square account. You have a PayPal account.
Wait, does it go through Square or does it go through Stripe?
I think it goes through
a thing called Stripe.
Mm-hmm.
There's also Apple Wallet.
Okay, so we have Square, we have Stripe, we have Apple Wallet, we have PayPal, we have Venmo.
I think Apple Wallet is called Apple Pay.
Apple Pay. I have heard of that. That's where you like flash your phone over the Starbucks like thing.
God, I have no idea. Okay, here's the deal, Maysoon.
Come on.
I think there must be some more equitable, better peer-to-peer payment thing.
Okay. That's what I'm looking for.
I just want you to know that research assistant Katie Kondo is actively trying to sabotage the podcast right now.
Why? She loves us.
Because she went in the bathroom, turned on our fan that's like 500,000 decibels loud.
Oh, you're just mad about it.
And then also left on her dance class.
Ooh,
that she left to go to the bathroom. And man, now there's Katie, like a screaming woman in one room.
Can you pause the screaming woman? Can you just like mute her for a second?
I'm afraid to walk in front of the camera
because they're gonna be like, you are not dressed for pole dancing. What the hell, like,
Katie, what happened to you?
How are you all of a sudden blonde and shaggy?
Yeah,
blonde shag.
So point is, Maysoon, they're all evil, they're all terrible, but Venmo's the easiest one to use.
Okay, Venmo. So everyone, there you go. Was that at all helpful? Probably not. I also feel like, you know, you can...
Although, Maysoon, I feel like we have this conversation every 2 years.
Well, that's because it changes every 2 years, and I'm still very skeptical. I'm still very, very reticent, let's say, to be involved with any of these. You know, that's just how I am. I realize most people are not like me at all and are ready to hand over all their information.
Well, maybe just keep not using them. Can you just get the person's mailing address and send them a check?
Probably. I mean, I think for my dance teacher who I take classes with every week, usually, I could probably just email her and say, hey, I'm not comfortable using these services. Can I just send you a check in the mail or something else? How are you doing with masks? Have you been crafting away like all the other Instagram people?
No, I've just been wrapping a scarf around my head.
Okay, that sounds good.
Katie ordered some of those Stephanie Sahuko masks.
Oh, nice. That's great. That's really great. I got a couple masks.
But we have not received them yet.
Yeah. She probably hates you and won't send them. I mean, you know, I'm not sure.
I think it wasn't from her directly. I think it was from some other organization she was working with.
Oh, sweet. Sweet. I pulled out all of my fabric with the big hopes of making masks for myself or for whoever needed. I was thinking I could send some to my mom or check in with close friends and see who needed them. And I just, you know, it takes like anything. It takes a lot of time to kind of really get going. You know, you have to cut out all the squares. You have to do all the pins. You have to figure out how to thread the fucking bobbin. It's like, if you're not like already a hardcore seamstress or sewer, it's just sort of like, it's a lot of, it's pretty challenging, I think. So I haven't made any masks yet, but I do still have all the fabric out, and I would like to. Plus, my work really took a big turn last week.
Oh, yes. Okay, go ahead.
So I honestly have had zero time, and I've been so exhausted from this work. So as a city employee, we are also disaster service workers. So that means in a time like what's going on now in COVID, where there's a crisis happening in our city, or for example, like a big earthquake, or if there's a big fire or flood, and all the city systems, kind of everything had to shut down for a bit, city employees are called to be basically deployed to do work for other departments. So I could be deployed to like hand out water bottles, to go door to door and check in and see if people are okay or safe in like an earthquake situation. And so now myself and all of my colleagues at the Arts Commission have been deployed as disaster service workers. And so we're doing all sorts of jobs that are way different than our usual jobs working in the arts, you know. So it's been super interesting. It's full on. I'm basically like making a million phone calls. I don't know if I can say this, but basically the city is offering cleaning supplies and also cleaning services to all the SROs in the city. And so I'm on that team that's sort of making that happen, which is it's such a different thing to do that kind of work. I mean, it's awesome in this time to be able to do work that feels like it's really helping people who probably need it the most, I would say. And that's been super interesting and like very rewarding and really exhausting, because the phone calls are exhausting. So, but yeah, it's been interesting. Most people I've talked to have been really receptive and, you know, happy that the city is providing services. Some people are a little bit less interested in getting additional help for their tenants, which just is this kind of a whole other issue of, you know, bad landlords in the city, I would say. But I'm not really allowed to talk about it too much, but just to say that we, all of us at the Arts Commission, have been deployed to do completely different jobs and are learning. We're like, it's like we just got hired to do a totally new job that we don't have a lot of maybe experience with, but we're capable based on our skills to do it. So it's like, it's been pretty tiring and taxing, but also rewarding in other ways. So if you know anyone who works at the Arts Commission, you know, check in, say, hey, thanks for helping out. If you want.
And remember this, when we're out of lockdown and you're going back to the SFAC galleries or, you know, what other city workers who don't usually do this type of thing are in the mix there?
I mean, planning, the Department of Planning is in there.
Planning office, sure.
The mayor's office, like literally everyone is in there. The PUC, the Public Utilities Commission. You know, it's like there's people who are not, you know, basically every city worker.
And when you come into the SFAC gallery next time, hopefully someday in our relatively near future,
I know,
you can do a little bow to them.
You don't have to, but you can.
You could do the Animal Crossing expression where flowers come out of your head.
Oh, what? Yes, please do that. I love that. I love that. That's really great.
Do it.
Speaking of Animal Crossing, I saw you at an opening last week at et al. On Animal Crossing.
Yes, it was my favorite opening I've ever been to.
I did not go because I don't know anything about Animal Crossing, because I'm basically, you know, like your grandma, and I just do the simple things online.
It's a Nintendo game.
I wouldn't be able to do it anyhow. It's not just like an internet app I can like fuck around with.
No, it's on Nintendo.
So exclusive. Oy. Yeah. No, it's
okay,
fine.
But May soon, the whole thing was streamed on Zoom.
Oh,
you could have zoomed. You could have zoomed so cool. Right in.
I could have zoomed right in.
I hope they do it again.
I hope they do it again too. But I just want to comment on the images I saw. Let me just do a little explanation. It was an art opening at Et Al, and there was Jackie M, who was wearing a face mask and a hanbok, which is a traditional Korean robe, and looking very cute. And then there was Kate Rhodes, my co-host here at the podcast, who had a cute little blonde bob and was wearing a like sort of psychedelic rainbow like maxi dress.
Just know that it's a robe, and I designed it myself.
And it was amazing. And she fucking showed up to the opening playing a little flute. And everyone, their minds were blown by how cool that was.
That's my ocarina I made with, I think, 10 pieces of clay.
Wow. That sounds complicated. Anyhow, it looked so sweet, and it just made my heart kind of flutter a little bit with warmness.
Yeah,
I loved to see all you guys in like your cartoon characters, and just like what you chose to wear and how that represents your personalities. It was like so awesome to see that, you know?
Thank you. I want to put a positive note out into the world, Maysoon, that my Nintendo friend code is SW68306754-0508.
That is not a friendly thing. I don't even know what you're saying. SW what?
SW68306754-0508.
And that's if you want to join Nintendo.
If you want to be my friend and come to my Animal Crossing island, that's what you put in.
But you have to have Nintendo already. You have to have all the things.
I have so many tarantulas.
Oh. Are they all different colors, or are they all sort of brown or black?
They're all the same. They're all stripy.
Oh, stripy, cute.
Okay, Maysoon, I'm gonna have the Dodo airline fly me from the bridge.
Around the other bridge
and the island in between. This has been
Congratulations Pine Tree. Butter, butter, butter.